Chapter 38. And then, she's back. Nora cries out in the darkness, and then light rushes in. Everything feels electric. Her body is bright, too bright. Everything vibrating and burning, and she's scrambling up and something's on her arm. She starts to yank at it, and something in her nose and mouth, and she pulls at that too, gagging, coughing. Suddenly, someone is there, holding her, pinning her arms. "Let me go," she wants to say. She tries to say it, but her voice is a scratchy, gargling mess. All she hears is a voice.
"Shh, Mom, shh, it's okay, it's okay."
Temin. Oh, by all the gods of all the stars, it's her son. He holds her close. She holds him back. She sees now. She's in a white room. Blue skies outside. A medical droid standing off to the side, ready to act. Temin kisses her cheek. She kisses his brow with chapped lips. Nora cries. Days later, when she has her voice back, she sits in the lounge of the medical building here in Hana City. Out of the glass, she can see the city there, and beyond it, the windswept meadows. Chandrila has been a peaceful place, long separate from the war. It seems an artifact out of time, a souvenir from some other era. She sits there with two others, Admiral Akbar and Captain Wedge Antilles. Wedge looks better than she does, though maybe not by much. He's walking with a cane right now, though he says that should change soon. Akbar, for his part, looks tired, but he looks happy to see her, too.
"You're quite something, Nora,"
Akbar says.
"I don't know about that, sir,"
she says. Her voice is still scratchy.
She still feels edgy, touchy.
Ever since the droid woke her up out of that coma, with whatever that chemical concoction was, she feels like an overcharged battery. Like she wants to get up and run, leap, dance. But her body can't do those things. She feels raw, sore, as tired as an old muskhound. Akbar and Wedge share a look. Wedge nods. Akbar produces a small box.
"This is for you."
She gives a quizzical look and takes it. Nora hesitates, but Wedge urges her on.
"Open it, Nora."
Inside, a medal.
"I already have mine,"
she says.
"This must be a mistake."
"One can earn more than a single medal,"
Akbar says, somewhat gruffly. But his lips twist into a strange smile.
"Your efforts on Akiva have had tremendous effect."
"I hardly see how."
"Humility is well and good, but facts persevere beyond the shadow of one's own feelings,"
Akbar says.
"You saved Captain Antilles. You helped us capture two high-value Imperial targets, General Tilia Shale and Palpatine's advisor, Yup Tashu, and confirmed the deaths of two others, Moff Falco Pandion and Slaver Arson Crassus."
The way Akbar says that word, slaver, it drips with rage and condescension.
"Admiral Sloane,"
Nora says.
"What of her?"
Wedge sighs.
"We got her attaché, Adia Wright, but the Admiral herself got away. It's why you've been here for the last month, in a coma. She blew the shuttle and got away in an escape pod."
Nora realizes.
"Of course. The front cockpit of those Lambda-class shuttles becomes the escape craft."
She finishes the story for him.
"Let me guess. She took that escape craft right to the Star Destroyer. And they took that ship to light speed. Yes."
She scowls. Disappointment stabs her in the gut. Wedge reaches out and clasps her hands.
"We'll find her. We still took down two Star Destroyers. It was a victory for the New Republic."
She nods and forces a smile.
Thank you, Captain.
There's something else,
Akbar says.
Sir?
I have more work for you, if you want it.
I don't know, sir. My son,
just hear me out, will you?
She nods. She listens. And in the end, she says yes. Akiva. Still hot, still muggy. A storm came through the night before, and now the landing pad is littered with palm fronds and the fat, broad leaves and crinkly blue blossoms of the Asuka trees. The flowers lie matted against the ground, still pretty in their way, but drowned-looking, too. Nora stands there, a sack over her shoulder. Temin stands with her. He has a bag with him, too. A new Republic flag flies over this landing pad, and a Corellian corvette roars overhead. Akiva, the first Outer Rim planet to officially have joined the contingent of worlds pledging themselves to the New Republic. The satraps saw the Empire's betrayal and the rage of the people of Mira and decided that the only way to save their skins and their rule was to give it over, in part, to the Republic. And Nora thanks the stars that the First Order of Business was routing out corruption and crime. Surratt fled, but the rest of his gang went down. Many in prison. The rest went out in what they probably thought was a blaze of glory, but what instead will likely end up as a bloody and brutal footnote in Akiva's history books.
Are you sure about this?
She asks.
Yeah, I'm sure.
You can stay here. I understand.
I don't want to stay here. I thought this place was home. It's not.
She smiles.
It still could be.
You're my home. Wherever you go, that's where I live.
She pulls him close. He says,
Do you think we'll find Dad still?
It's possible. Those data cubes you stole from Surratt had a lot of information about the Empire's criminal dealings.
Jazz was the one who translated them. Looks like Surratt may have been collecting that information in case he ever had to bargain his way to freedom with the burgeoning New Republic. Temin stealing that from him bought him the only chip he had to play. The Archive offered a bounty of information connecting the Empire with several crime syndicates across the galaxy.
The Huts and other syndicates operate black site prisons for the Empire. I'm hoping our journeys will take us there.
The holocrons will, in part, inform their new mission.
But I also don't want to promise anything. Not like I did before. I don't know what's going to happen out there. You have to know that, Temin. But we'll try. Okay? We'll try.
I know.
He looks up.
Hey, here's our ride.
A ship drifts down, its twin engines pivoting and firing against the ground to slow its ascent. It's an SS-54 assault ship. On the side is the scratched-up painting of a little Tuca doll holding a sharp knife. The words that were above it are mostly gone, except for two.
Play nice.
It settles down, and once it does, three people step off. Jazz is the first off the ship, craning her neck and cracking her knuckles. Sinjir follows after. He's still got that rough-hewn edge. His scruff has grown out a bit more, though that imperial vibe still hangs about him like a miasma. Last off, a man with thick mutton chops that connect to a bushy mustache. Arm in a cast, blaster at his side, helmet palmed in his hand. He steps off and heads right for Nora, hand out.
Nora Wexley, I'm guessing,
he asks.
John Burrell,
she says, shaking his hand.
A pleasure to meet you, finally. I just want to say again, I appreciate you fighting the fight on Mira. I had thought all of you Spec Force guys and girls died that day. I'm happy I was wrong, and thanks for taking the initiative.
Temin walks past and mutters,
Though you almost killed us.
Your boy,
he asks.
My boy,
she says. Temin gives Jazz a hug, then gives Sinjir a punch to the arm. Nora calls after.
Temin, I think you're forgetting something.
Oh, yeah!
He sticks both fingers in his mouth and whistles.
Yo, Bones! Let's roll!
From far off the field, Mr. Bones jerks his head up. The droid, which Temin and Nora rebuilt together from scrap in Esmel and Shireen's basement over the last week, a family project, she said, waves. In one hand, a flower. In the other, a blaster.
Roger, roger.
The battle droid jogs past, leaving small craters in the landing field, which tells Nora they still have a little work to do on his pneumatics. Jazz and Sinjir come up to her. Jazz says,
So, are you ready to hunt some Imperial war criminals?
Oh, I guess, Sinjir says, pouting. I like to pretend we're going to be hunting down dangerous prey, but most likely we're going to be chasing a bunch of pudgy Imperial accountants across backwater worlds.
Duty calls, Nora says. I'm glad you all answered it with me. I didn't think you'd go for it. Akbar suggested we all work together again, and I thought he was crazy.
There's money,
Jazz says with a shrug.
And there's drink, Sinjir adds.
Jom frowns.
Oh, this is going to be fun. Come on, the job awaits.
Nora smiles. Temin stands on the ramp of Jazz's ship. He waves. She waves back and heads aboard,
ready to see where the next adventure takes them.